The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 2pm with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and John Budden in the studio. It's Catrick and Lester over the obstacles and all weather racing from Lingfield. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Excellent to be here.
Good. Now, as usual on this early edition of the podcast, we're going to start with a look at the Monday jury from the Racing Post, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. So, straight into the Monday jury, John. The first question surrounds the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Who would you pick to win that? I suppose Sire de Grugy made it a little bit more interesting again. All of a sudden, he proved he was in good nick.
Yes, sadly for my suggestions, he was in very good nick. I loved the way he picked up at the fences in the straight mark at Chepstow. He seemed to have jumped really quite well throughout the contest, but he was eager turning for home. And for someone who'd written him off, this was a big worry. If he improves on that Chepstow run, and Jamie Moore seems to think he's right back to the form he showed last year, then he's going to be a major, major player. And my ideas of what was going to win the Queen Mother Chase have not been torn to shreds, but they have been made a little bit more hazardous. What's going to win? Well, I'm not a sprinter, Zachary Mann. I thought he lacked enthusiasm at Ascot. That's what really upset me. Sire de Grugy, obviously back to tremendous form. He will be having his third race fairly quickly, though. So I'm just going to pencil him through quietly. Everyone else says he'll win on the strength of that Chepstow run, and it was pretty impressive. But the two I like, and my selection is definitely Champagne Fever. This is a spring horse. He's returned to form in his last two outings. Might have won at Thurles two outings ago, one last time out. Very much better in the spring. Loves Cheltenham. And William Mullins, will have him absolutely spot on. So Champagne Fever is still my choice to win the Queen Mother. And as some people know, I had a small each-way bet on Simply Ned earlier in the season at 25-1. Now, if you look at the betting now, you will see that in some quarters, he's as low as, I think, 14-1.
Yeah.
And he will be my place bet. But I'm a Champagne Fever man.
Okay, I'll just spin you through the betting for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Sprinter Sakura 3-1, Sire de Grugy 100-30. It's 4-1 for Dodging Bullets, 11-2 for Champagne Fever, 8 for Mr. Mole, 14-1 or bigger prices for the others, and Simply Ned, the one you mentioned there, John, 16s with us. So
yeah, he has been nibbled, Simply Ned, and he will be very fit. The one I haven't mentioned, of course, is Dodging Bullets.
Yeah.
Who has done everything right, looked much more relaxed last time out, could win this race quite comfortably on the strength of his two excellent wins, but at the back of my mind still lurks the fact that he tends to be better before Christmas than after.
Okay, well, let's move on to the second question then. Could you see Beltor, Troubling, Peace and Co and the rest of them in the Triumph Hurdle?
Well, I could. This is a very tricky question, I think, Mark. There's little question. He was very impressive when winning at Kempton and actually coming away from some quite decent horses. And according to Richard Hoyles, who was commentating at Kempton and wrote, I thought, rather a significant little Twitter piece to the Racing Post on Sunday saying how impressed he had been with Beltor, not just at Kempton, but also previously at Ludlow. And if he has impressed such a really good judge as Richard Hoyles in that way, he's got to have a big chance. My only slight sort of worry is that he lacks experience, certainly at a place like Cheltenham. Again, it'll be a third run relatively quickly. And I thought, when listening to Robert Stevens, his trainer, that they might decide to send him to Aintree rather than Cheltenham. I think he could should be some very, very classy individual. So Mark Prescott had him before and apparently recommended him to the Stevens stable. And, of course, Robert Stevens was assistant to Sir Mark Prescott before. So the answer to that question is, yes, he could. But at the same time, I think that Peace & Co. and others of that ilk have got more experience and in bigger fields over hurdles. That might tell.
Okay. Peace & Co, the 2-1 market leader. Hargam Sixers, 8 for Beltor. Calcia 10s with Petit Parisien and Top Notch. And then 14s or bigger for the others.
Incidentally, on that particular subject and in that race, I'm a Hargadan man. I thought ran really well at Musselburgh and a useful horse, particularly if the ground dries. And I thought Top Notch also hurdled magnificently last time. It could indeed be a Nicky Henderson sort of benefit.
Yes, he's got a very strong hand in this year's triumph. The third question, give us a winner or two for the Cheltenham Festival handicaps.
Oh, well, I could give a whole sheet, Mark, and be here for about a quarter of an hour. But cutting it down to about three, I do think Activial is a major player in whatever handicap he goes for. Harry Fry is very lightly raced, in my view, progressive hurdler, has got engagements in both the Coral Cup and the County Hurdle. Mm-hmm. And whichever Harry Fry decides to run him in, he must surely go well. He ran a tremendous race at Ascot before Christmas, first time out, and then we can't mention the name of it, but there was a valuable hurdle at Newbury last month, in which he also ran really pretty well. So Activial, in whatever he goes for, either the Coral Cup or the County Hurdle, would be one of my suggestions. I was at Musselburgh for the very grandly named Cheltenham Trials Day. Mm-hmm. If ever there was a course, actually, such a thing, contrast to Cheltenham, it is Musselburgh. But nevertheless, great day in their calendar. And I thought that Nicky Henderson's Dor Allan really caught the eye with his win. If he goes, as I think he will, for the per temps, mm-hmm. then, you know, he's got to have a really good chance. He's got a turn of foot. He's a bit quirky, but he stays. And he's got every chance. And then two others might be mentioned. Jim Goldie doesn't often have a runner at Cheltenham, but Silver Duke was an impressive winner at Musselburgh last week. Beat my selection, Ginger Jack, very comfortably. And after that, Jim was quite serious in saying he now hoped the horse would get into the Fred Winter, not without a chance. And in the Grand Annual, if it is relatively soft, Brick Red must have a good chance. Really genuine, consistent horse.
Okay, a few to got there then in the handicaps. Moving on from the Cheltenham Festival, how high up the Grand National pecking order is Rocky Creek, in your opinion, John?
Immensely high. I backed him last year, and I thought around about three fences out, he was going as well as anything. Mm. And, you know, I really thought he was going to certainly play a leading part in the first three and might win. Then he'd been in front for a long time, jumping really well, and he just weakened and tired in the last sort of run to the last fence and on the run in. Earlier in the season, one read that, in fact, he'd had troubles, Rocky Creek, before the last year's Grand National. I think there were ulcers and one or two other problems, so he may not have been quite as fit as one poor punter who didn't know that had thought. But he was tremendous, I thought, in the way he jumped at Kempton. Sam Tristan Davis had been very positive in his article in the Racing Post on Saturday morning. I think he'll definitely improve. And, well, the champion trainer says he's going to be ridden in a slightly different way. So if he jumps well and is held up a bit, I think he's got a great chance. Union East must also have a very good chance. And we can't discount Shut the Front Door. But I do think if we're sticking to Rocky Creek, he's very high on my list.
OK, second favourite with those, Rocky Creek, by the way, 12-1 Second favourite behind Shut the Front Door, who's currently nines for the Grand National. But, yeah, banging the mix there. And what other horses caught your eye this weekend or recently, John?
Well, several. They're mostly slightly less than Cheltenham horses, although Silver Duke is one of them. I've mentioned him already. Mm-hmm. Two that I noticed from Nicky Richards's yard. And Nicky Richards's team remain in really tremendous form at the moment. Don't forget Simply Ned, and don't forget Edouard when he goes for the Ryanair. We expect a big run from him. But the two I actually picked out from Nicky's yard over the past week were And the Man on Saturday at Newcastle. Now, this horse, if you look, has got more alphabet letters than actual numbers in front of his name over the past season. He's been pulled up, I think, three times in a row, if not four, and hasn't been sighted, but he always comes to his best at this time of year. He was fitted at Blinkers for the first time, and he very nearly won. If he comes back to Ayr, where he simply loves it, And the Man must surely be backed. And the other horse mentioned from Nicky Richards's yard, which I thought ran very promisingly indeed, was Gold Futures, who won a handicap hurdle at Carlisle after being something like, 12 lengths behind approaching the last flight. Shot up the run-in to beat Upswing and A.P. McCoy, who looked certain to land the bacon. And Gold Futures won a listed, I think it was, hurdle at Market Raisin last summer in the course of a hat-trick. Now, he could pick up a really decent handicap hurdle. So two from Nicky's yard, And the Man and Gold Futures.
Okay, final question of this week's Monday Jury then. What did you make of Willie Mullin's comments about prize money?
Very little, quite frankly, Mark. There is a lot of prize money on offer at the Cheltenham Festival, and I'm very much again increasing prize money for what you might call major races. The kudos of winning those races and the possibility of selling on horses is tremendous. The prize money is perfectly good, and I would far better rather see prize money distributed among the lesser races.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll leave it there. That's the Monday Jury for another week, and we'll get John's best bets for Tuesday in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's racing. John's picked out one race at Leicester and a couple from Catterick to look forward to. And starting in the 3:20 at Leicester, John, you've gone for the Leicestershire Hunter Chase, a Class 3 event over almost 3 miles. We've got a nice field of 10 here, John. Which one's on the shortlist?
Yes, and just before putting what's on the shortlist, you might mention that I think I'm right in saying that this particular race is worth £12,000. It's a very valuable Hunter Chase, which is the reason why I have picked it out. A number of really, familiar names for those people who follow the Hunter Chase scene in this race, Mark, starting with Coombe Hill, grand old veteran. Yeah. I mean, he's absolutely superb. I think he's now 14.
Yep.
But my goodness me, you can't discount him from a race like this. He still jumps like a horse half his age, and he stays on really well. And many people will back him purely from, familiarity and the belief that the old horse could well win again. It's not going to be my selection, but he's a great performer. John O'Shea's got a couple in this contest, and they're both in with a chance. Cottage Oak, for example, has been winning or being placed in Hunter Chases all over the country for about three or four seasons. I think I'm right in saying he actually got a place in the Fox Hunters a couple of seasons ago.
Finished third in it.
Yes, I thought he did. And he's won at Kelso. He's a really decent horse, Cottage Oak, and he ran pretty well when third at Haydock in a smallish field last time out. But that, I think, was the Walrus Hunters Chase at Haydock, which is, thrown up some very good winners. So I do think that Cottage Oak will run well here. The other John O'Shea horse is King Fontaine, who is not without a chance in this race, unseated at Musselburgh in the race won by Current Event, but has got good form in point to points. Then two others, and my selection will be Foundry Square. I like this horse. He's now back with Steve Fluke, who is an expert in this kind of point-to-point and hunter-chase training preparation. And Foundry Square did spend a short time, I think it was at the beginning of last year, in the spring, early summer of 2014, with David Evans. And he won a handicap for David Evans. He's back with Steve Fluke, and he's had two runs, which, in my view, Mark, suggest he's being prepared for this contest. He has run pretty well behind Current Event, that same horse who's a really top-class hunter chaser, could well go for the Fox Hunters this year. That was at Musselburgh. And last time out, he ran a little bit better. He was third, running on quite strongly. And I think that Foundry Square has been specially prepared for this race, and I expect him to run very well. The other horse we must mention is Palypso de Creek, because not only is that a very decent hunter chaser and a winner at Wetherby, I think, last time out in a small field, but was owned and trained by the late Jill Dawson, one of the great figures of point-to-pointing and hunter chasing in the north, who sadly died of cancer only at the end of last week. And you know, this horse, presumably the family thought, would be a good idea to run, and it's a very decent hunter chaser, and I think it'll go well. So that will be an emotional win, but I'm going to go for Foundry Square.
Okay, Foundry Square for John in the 3:20. Over to Catrick we go for the two races there that John's picked out. The 4:30 is the first of them, and this is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2 miles. Five of them in the lineup here, John. Which one do you like?
Well, just nipping down through one of them. The reason why I've chosen this race, incidentally, Mark, is it's called the Easby Abbey Chase, and he was a really great handicap and better than that chaser on the Northern Circuit. And I think he might be turning a bit in his equine grave when he looks at this field. Oscar Torres, the top one. Donald McCain's horse is now running very much better, and it could be that Oscar Torres going to, you know, go back to what was quite useful form a couple of seasons ago, but ran very disappointingly last time out when seen at Musselburgh before Christmas. The horse that I like in the race is Billy Cuckoo. Tony Coyle trains this, Dougie Costello's in the saddle, and Billy Cuckoo ran a particularly eye-catching race when I was at Carlisle last week, last Monday, in fact. He jumped superbly in the hands of Dougie Costello, just run out of it in the closing stages, run out of it, not quite the term, because Benny's Well made all the running in that race, but Billy Cuckoo was always prominent just behind him, and he wasn't beaten far. He's a horse who loves to go hunting, apparently, jumps really well. He's once he's fit, they just send him hunting, and he enjoys it. I think he's got a big chance here. Hasn't actually won at Catterick, but it's not a great race, and I like the way he went. You know, Valoroso is the danger to me. Mark Wolford, this horse has, you know, got some decent performances in this level, and if Billy Cuckoo can't quite last home, you know, Valoroso would be my worry.
Okay, so Billy Cuckoo for John in the 4:30. And the final race we're going to look at is the 5 o'clock at Catterick. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over the extended 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Anthony Honeyball looks to have a pretty strong hand here, John. He's got two in the lineup, and both of them last time out winners in the shape of the GG's GG and Cresswell Breeze.
Yes, the GG GG. That would be a pretty good, difficult for the commentator. Young Gareth would get his tongue around it, though, and so it might be, in fact, the wizard at Catterick, because he quite often does call at Catterick. Yes, he's set a real poser, Anthony Honeyball, hasn't he? I mean, he trains an awful long way away from Catterick, but when he sends horses up to courses on the Northern Circuit, they very often do well, and his team are in good form. I can't go for the impossible to pronounce. I'm going to go for Cresswell Breeze, his second selection. I thought of the two that he's running, that Cresswell Breeze was in fact more impressive in victory at Taunton, and it was a good win by 6 lengths over T. Caddy. It was his first step up to 3 miles, and I think he is the pick of the two Honeyball runners, and one of the reasons is, and this I'm much mistaken, he is being ridden by A.D. Coleman.
Yeah.
And I think that surely indicates that he is the preference of the two. The only other horse that I like in the race is John Wade's Allez Cool. He was well beaten at Musselburgh when last seen, 6 of 7, in fact. But he was quietly fancied then, and he made a very bad mistake four out, and he never really got back into it. And he had run well at Wetherby before that, when second to not one but two. And that's quite decent form. So if the Honeyball pair don't run up to Taunton form, then Allez Cool could go well for the trusty combination of John Wade and Brian Hughes. But for me, it is Cresswell Breeze.
Okay, Cresswell Breeze then for John. Thank you very much, John. Let's just have a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, we go Hunter Chasing at Leicester in the 3:30. Foundry Square is the choice there. Then in the Easby Abbey Chase at Catterick 4:30, Billy Cuckoo to make all the running. And in the 5 o'clock, Cresswell Breeze to win for A.D. Coleman and Anthony Honeyball.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, John. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. He'll be in the studio with Mick Norton and Craig Forsyth from 2 p.m. Catterick and Leicester are the two meetings over the obstacles. We've also got all weather racing at Lingfield as well, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.